Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, broadcasting to you live from Fairbanks, Alaska, and we have got a delightful guest today, Marla Martinson. Now, Marla's been on my show before. Marla has a very interesting occupation. She is a matchmaker. And, of course, if you remember the song from Fiddler on the Roof, matchmaker, matchmaker, you know, whatever, whatever. Matchmakers have been around forever in one form or another. We can all perhaps recognize a relative or two that decided that we needed to be matched up with somebody they thought was right with us. But we're talking about a professional here. And Marla is going to be talking with us today about her book, Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker. Marla, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. I'm so happy to be with you again.
Well, it's a delight. Now, this is your third book.
Yes.
And I know when we did our last interview, it was on the good date, the bad date. And we had so much fun with that. And you've been all over the country talking about your books and just having a real good time with it. But I want you to tell my audience how you got involved into becoming a professional matchmaker. I mean, we see things about this. We hear about the professional matchmakers in the Middle Eastern culture, the Chinese culture, and how did it happen in the American culture in Beverly Hills?
I know. This is the most frequently asked question that I get, and I put my whole story in Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker. It's my memoir, so people will be able to read all about it. It's so interesting, but the way it happened to me was it was something that was meant to be, because 8 years ago, it wasn't so popular. I mean, now it seems like everywhere you turn, there are dating services online, there are professional matchmakers, there's life coaches, relationship experts. It's just exploding, and it did that pretty quickly. But when I got into it 8 years ago, it was just by fluke. I was actually an actress / waitress, and I'd been doing that for years, doing TV commercials and modeling and all sorts of creative things and taking classes. And I was also in the restaurant industry to pay the bills. And when I turned 39, I said to myself, I do not want to be a 40-year-old waitress, because I couldn't support myself fully on the acting. And when I met my husband, we weren't married yet, but he had a friend who was taking over the management position at a video dating service. And he says, you know, she said you could have a part-time job if you want. And I said, well, that's great, because I want to do something different. And I absolutely loved it. I was videotaping the clients. I felt like a movie director, you know, doing these little scenes, and I was helping people. And then when I left that establishment a year and a half later, I just, answered an ad in the back of an actor's magazine to be a recruiter at an upscale Beverly Hills matchmaking service. And within a couple months of recruiting, they asked me to work in the office, and I was assistant matchmaker to the head matchmaker there. And within a few years, I was the VP of matchmaking, and the rest is history. And now I own my own company. I left that company last year, and now I have my own boutique service, working with a handful of select financially upscale men who are looking for wives and are too busy to find them. And then it gives me a chance to write full-time as well.
Well, I think that's marvelous. Now, you have this Latin husband, Adolfo.
Yes.
And he's quite a character.
He is quite a character.
Yeah, the way you portray him. This is a guy that just, I mean, you've got to share a little bit of your romance, because you had such a string of what I'd call the rotten egg scenarios that when he came along, it's like, nah, this isn't going to work. So you've got to share your story, because it's going to touch every woman's heart that's ever said, I'll never find anything decent in this life. All I'm getting are the hard-boiled eggs, and they're all cracked.
Yeah, well, all my cracked hard-boiled eggs, I have to say, when I look back, it was really my own fault, because I'm the one who picked them, and I'm the one who stayed with them, because I think as women, a lot of times we'll say, oh, I'm, you know, with this jerk, or they're single mothers and they have, you know, these problems with the exes, but we picked these men, decided to marry them, have children with them, or live with them, or stay with them, and we've really got to be more selective, I'm telling you. And so I finally came to that conclusion because I had been married before and I'd dated men and stuck with it, and knowing in my heart that they were not the right person for me. But you get lonely and you know, you get caught up in everything and stay too long. But I think as we age, we mature a little bit and get the lesson, which finally I did. And when I had moved, I was living in Chicago for seven years. Then I moved back to LA because my father got sick and died. And so I was back in LA and I was heartbroken and didn't have a full-time job. And I was just, and a long distance boyfriend had broken up with me. It's just like it felt like I lost everything. And I said to myself, you know what? I did a little bout of internet dating and that didn't really work out. So I said, you know what, Marla? You might be alone for the rest of your life. You might not have another husband, but that's okay. Work on yourself. Work on your spiritual practice. Work on your career. I started going to Agape International Spiritual Center. I started doing my meditation, lifting my self-esteem, my vibration to a higher level metaphysically. And within 2 months, I was introduced by a mutual friend to Adolfo. And it was kind of love at first sight. We clicked from the get-go, and we're together ever since, since the first night we met.
One of the things that I enjoyed, and this is in Diary of a Matchmaker, and I'm not going to tell you, that those of you listening, everything. I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you this. He did tell Marla that he had had a vision or an image of her being a very successful writer, and you didn't believe him.
Well, it was interesting because I'd never told him that I wanted to be a writer. I had wanted to write since I was a little girl, but I just didn't have the confidence. I didn't think I knew where to put the commas or the, you know, the proper grammar. I just never tried it as a career or anything. And I stopped writing when I was about, you know, maybe 12 years old, but always had it in the back of my head. And so I was so shocked when he walked up to me one day. This was, geez, we'd only been together for maybe a year and a half or 2 years, and he says, God told me to tell you to write. He said, you forget about the acting, he said. I said, but I don't want to forget about the acting. He said, no, forget about the acting. I got the message. You better follow up on it. I see you as a best-selling author. And I was like, wow. And I had been keeping notes at the dating service because I thought, gosh, these are some funny stories, and I have a lot of interesting dating tips and things to tell people. So I thought, just in case I want to do a book, but he didn't know about it. So it was very interesting. And he loves to take credit for my writing career. give me credit. I told you to be, everything I tell you to do works out. You're a success. He says, give me credit.
Don't you just love it?
Yeah, I said, all right.
Okay, it's all right. You give credit. You do the work, but that's okay. He has a vision. Yes, that's a good combination. Well, I love how in the book you make a statement. You say, before I worked in the matchmaking field, I honestly had no idea how shallow, picky, selfish, and entitled some clients could be. And this is male and female. And you said, even after many, many years, you still get some individuals that you wonder what planet they came in from. Go ahead.
No. Well, yeah, that was probably on one of my frustrated days I wrote that. When I get the guys who will only date girls with a double D chest and blue eyes and 5'8" and up, and she has to have a degree and she has to live west of the 405 freeway and So, and then when the girls will only date a guy who drives a certain model of car or has a certain income, or he'll only take her to a 5-star restaurant on the first date, or just things like that, I would want to scream, but people, don't you want a real relationship? Don't you want to find somebody who's going to treat you well, somebody you can grow old with, and instead of just getting a designer handbag or getting to look at a big pair of bosoms?
People are really interesting, and you had some women and some guys who are gold diggers, and you would get these emails from people, and this is when you were working, before you established your own.
Correct.
When you were working for this agency, and, you know, there was the one day when you said one of the gals that worked in the office, she had been fired, and you thought, oh, geez, and of course you were in a situation, you didn't want to lose your job, but you had all of these stresses and your boss wanted people to be matched up, and because that meant big bucks to him. Mm-hmm. What, how did, you know, when you do this type of thing, obviously there, people are going to want to have some kind of chemistry where they feel like
right.
they fit. But so often, isn't it just the physical response? I mean, people go out, they meet each other, and they automatically make a judgment within less than 30 seconds. Am I wrong?
Oh, you're right. I mean, there's only one chance to make a first impression, and especially for men who are so visual, they can tell within like the first 5 seconds whether they're interested or not just by the look. And
mm-hmm.
then they'll want to know more. But if they're not interested physically in the woman, they feel there's no reason to even continue, and sometimes they get upset because they had to sit through the date knowing, whereas women often, they do want to be attracted, but if the guy's very funny, very powerful, very interesting, a total gentleman, they might say, you know what, he wasn't the best-looking guy, or he was a little short, or he was balding, but I'll give him another chance because I just had so much fun with him, or he was so
mm-hmm.
such a gentleman. So it's a little bit different there, chemistry-wise, for the men and women.
Now, this is something that I think is so important because you hear about guys that end up marrying women and they get the gold diggers and then they cry in their beer saying, oh, I married this woman and she's just terrible. Well, did you take time to get to know her? No, she's so pretty, but oh my God, what a she is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you have this and they moan and they groan and they feel sorry for themselves and it's like you want to go out and give them a reality dip of some kind. But it is a part of the male persona. But I've known women that have been the same way.
Yeah, well, men, women that they get married too quick and then they're crying because he doesn't treat them right or...
Oh, all kinds of things.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
I mean, it's just...
It's people get sometimes married too quickly. There was a woman who... I'm writing about this scenario in the sequel because I'm writing the sequel now, and she came into my office crying because she... I'd matched her up with a gentleman. He was from Arizona, and she lived in L.A., and they spent the weekend together. I mean, she hadn't even known him a week, and she said he proposed. And then
Uh-oh.
She was already setting up all the plans, and then he decided he canceled. He says, no, after she had laid out, you know, how many carat diamond rings she wanted and the house that she wanted and the kind of car she wanted and the furniture she wanted, he panicked and said, oh, my goodness, I don't want to do that. And she thought, well, he lied to me. He went back on his word. He asked me to marry him. I said, but you haven't even known him a week.
Uh-huh.
So she says, no, but that happens to me all the time. People always ask me to marry them on the first or second date, and I say, well, but that hasn't worked out so far, has it? So some women are so desperate to get married that they'll just say yes to, you know, any guy that they think fits the bill on paper, and they don't even know the person yet.
Well, I'll share a story with you. I remember a psychiatrist. This was a woman psychiatrist. And I can remember her talking about wanting to marry a particular man. Now, her particular objective was that she wanted to have someone that was very wealthy, that wouldn't interfere with her career, blah, 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 blah. So she ends up meeting this person, and she asked me about it, and I said, I don't think it's very smart because I really think he's a cheapskate, so I really don't think it's a good idea. Well, what she did is she ended up marrying him, and I remember getting a phone call from her a year later. She said, oh, it was the biggest mistake I ever made. He is so cheap. <That guy. laughs> And I said, really?
Oh,
you don't know someone. You can't get to know somebody in a week.
No,
it's
and even a few months, up. People think they know, oh, but I know him so well, but you really don't because people are still on their best behavior. And
mm-hmm.
There's no rush. I mean, you know, I know as people get older, you can do things a little faster because you know yourself better and you know what the signs and what you're looking for, but you still need to give a certain amount of time.
Absolutely. Now, you have a story in here, and this is stepping back in time a little bit, but it's about Joan Collins when you were a waitress.
Oh,
and you
right.
were in a restaurant. You've got to share that story. That's so cute.
Oh, it's so funny. Well, I was waitressing, slaving away. That was when I was about 25 years old, and I had two waitresses. I waitressed in the day, and I was a cashier at night in a French restaurant for the same owners, and I was in Beverly Hills, and I used to be jealous because I was slaving away and I'd see all these women coming in who were married to wealthy men and they'd come in with their bags, their shopping bags from Chanel and Giorgio, and they'd come in on Saturday lunchtime, and they'd be reeking of opium or Giorgio or Bijan, the latest scent of the day. And I remember Joan Collins came in, and I think it was a party of six, and her fork was missing. Well, she called me over, and she says, Miss, she says, my fork is missing. This is an outrage. And I said, oh, my goodness, let me get you a fork. And then I remember her bill was $120, and she left me like $2.50 or something. And I was like, oh.
And what was her name in Dallas?
Alexis. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I'm sure she's a perfectly wonderful woman, but that day, it was like, oh. That was funny.
Amazing.
I never forgot.
Amazing. You have so many different stories about different characters, because they really are characters as personalities. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody would want to live with them, but you never know.
Yeah.
Characters enjoy characters. So you have this one situation that you talked about, and it was Marla, I believe, yes, and Marla said to you, I've actually decided not to continue dating through your service. Now, this wasn't your service. This was when you were working with someone else.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see. Oh, it's Serena. That's who it was.
Okay.
And she was talking about Stuart.
Was that the foot fetish?
Oh, yes. Oh, I read that and I went, oh, my God, that reminds me of someone that I met years ago, Creepy Crawler, first class. You got to share that one.
That was funny because this gentleman was very, I thought, very distinguished when I met him. He was a heart surgeon, and I think he was in his 50s, and I matched him up, and I thought, what a great guy to match up, this distinguished doctor. And on the date, I get the feedback after that he dunked down, disappeared under the table to check out the woman's feet and licked her ankle, and she promptly responded with a kick in the nose, and it was so funny because my assistant at the time, when I Alana in the book, I had told her, I said, oh my gosh, listen to what happened, Stuart, da da da, and she says, oh, I remember when he came in for his meeting, he mentioned he liked my pedicure twice.
So you that just was don't know. You just don't know. And then he was a very unhappy camper because of what's there. And Serena said, thank you very much. I don't need this.
Right, yeah.
There are so many people I've known of that want to do online dating, Marla. And the matchmaker service, I'm sure, has grown because so many people get concerned. I mean, first of all, it's about security.
Yeah.
People think, oh, my goodness, it's online. How safe is this? You hear all of these wacko stories out there. How would you advise somebody? I mean, you're a professional matchmaker. This is what you do. You bring people together. As a matchmaker, let's cover two points. First, address the internet stuff, and then let's talk about your matchmaking process.
Well, the internet can be great. I have a relative who's engaged to a man she met on Match.com, and they've been together many years. And before she was with him, she was dating another man for 3 years who was a great guy. So it can be great. You do have to be very careful because anybody and everybody can go on there without any references or anything. If they could be married, they can be a cheater, a serial dater, they could be anything. And a lot of them lie, like you were saying, the security. I mean, they could put a fake age, a fake everything. So just be careful if you do meet in a public place. I tried it. I just went on 4 internet dates before I met my husband, and I always met at the farmer's market at this little coffee place. And one night I met a guy at karaoke, and then it was fun and people were around and it was light. And if you don't like him, you can bow out. You're not waiting through a whole dinner or something. So it can be a great tool. It takes longer too. You have to have time to sit there and weed through the emails and profiles and all that. So, it has its pros and cons. And then using a professional matchmaker is great if you're busy, because you can tell the matchmaker exactly what you're looking for, what type of person, age range. If you're allergic to cats, they can screen for that if you want somebody with kids or not. What's nice is the matchmaker can screen out for all those little details for you. So when you are matched for a date, basically all you have to do is show up at dinner and see if there's any chemistry. So that's nice. But also matchmakers can only match who they have in their database if you're going to a big company. So you have to realize they're not magicians either. If you, you know, if you're very particular, sometimes I felt the guys would want me to be like Dr. Frankenstein and go into my laboratory and build them a woman, you know. So.
Oh, I love that image. That's really
good. I can't.
Okay,
I wish I could put the double D's on the PhD with a, you know, size 2. And
it's so ridiculous. I mean, it really, really is. But that's the difference between the male and the female. I think Playboy magazine did an evaluation, I don't know how many years ago. I remember my husband telling me, he said they did some kind of an evaluation, and they found looks were important to women, but nowhere close to the level that it was for men. And he said, just what you mentioned earlier, absolutely nowhere near. And women really were interested in certain things. Sometimes it was financial security and that type of thing. But they said, really, women would be very forgiving with a man if that was something, you know, if he had the qualities that she really wanted. But I think with a lot of women, they honestly do not think through about the type of character or the type of characterization, I should say, that we would that we want in someone. What are the qualities? Do they have integrity?
Right.
Are
like it was like Sandra Bullock. It was very interesting who she picked, you know.
So we have all this fluff stuff that's out there, but when it comes to day-to-day living, you may not have Mr. Brad Pitt there, but you may have someone that if you got sick is going to be loving you and loving your kids and doesn't care whether you get gray hair on Monday morning, you know, after you forgot to use your hair coloring solution. And it's going to have a good sense of humor when you have a cold, a runny nose, and do like your hubby does and bring you some cough drops or tea or something else and say, okay, go and stay in bed and get rest.
Yeah.
And
the only thing I find that the women are not very flexible on, though, that used to make me very frustrated is the height issue with men. They want the guys to be so tall, and even the ladies who are 5'1", 5'2", often they'll say, I don't date anyone under 6 feet, or they consider 5'9 short when 5'9 is the average American height of the average American male.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was probably my biggest challenge with the ladies was the height issue. And so, and the interesting, I'd ask them why, and I got, a lot of the times I'd get the answer, well, I don't want my children to be short. That's what they'd say. And I don't know if that it works that way, but that would be the answer. Or I want to wear my heels, or I want to feel petite. I want to feel like he could, you know, defend me. So that, you know, there's a lot of wonderful men out there who are 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", and they're not, you know, being selected, and they're out there for the pickings, ladies. So be a little more open. You might find a real gem.
That's true. And you go into some aspect that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and that is how women are so concerned about their wrinkles and maybe getting a little saggy in the baggie somewhere, and Botox. You have a chapter on that.
Oh,
and
kiss
I know,
Botox.
Yes, kiss your Botox. You got to cover that topic a little bit.
Yeah, well, Botox, especially in L.A., very popular, and I've used it on occasion, and it's a miracle. So that is one thing I like. But, it's the whole age thing. It's very, it gets me down so much because our society, people are so afraid to tell their age. I had a gal contact me yesterday who I'd worked with at the agency last year, and she found me, and she says, oh, do you have anybody for me? And I said, well, okay, send me your info again. And she says, okay, I'm 32 years old, and da da da. And I said, I emailed back, and I said, well, last year you told me you were 36.
I did look
her up on Wikipedia because she's an actress, and she's 37. And I said, do you really want to lie about the age? Because, you know, it's for a relationship. You don't want to start off with a lie. And this and that. She said, but I don't look my age. And I emailed back. I says, well, I've never had a client tell me that they look their age. I said, nobody thinks they look. Everyone just raves about their, you know, incredible youth, you know, youthfulness. And nobody ever thinks they look their age. So I said, you do look wonderful. I said, absolutely. You could pass for younger. But the thing is, you know, you are this age, and it is important when looking for a mate, because what if the guy wants kids? What if, you know, there's factors, and I just don't, I don't believe in lying about the age, and I think we should be proud of who we are, and everybody ages, and I just think it's so sad that everyone's so paralyzed in fright to tell how old they really are. Raquel Welch was on Oprah the other day. She says, well, I'm 69, almost 70. I mean, she says it with no problem whatsoever, and Oprah does, and I just, it's so refreshing and so nice.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Tell us one of your most successful stories as a matchmaker.
Well, I do end the book with a wedding, and I had, that was a wonderful wedding of two people who the man was in, I don't want to tell the details because I have to go read what I wrote. What this wonderful, I think he's in his late 40s and she was in her mid 30s, and just hit it off. It was a, you know, big love story. Exactly. It was one of those matches, you know, where everything just lined up, and I got invited to the wedding, and it was one of those luxurious, he was very wealthy, so it was one of those real over the top beautiful weddings, and they had a gift for me there, and they, you know, honored me and told everyone how grateful they were, and it was just like this magical night, and that was just wonderful. And I have had many success stories and many marriages. I don't get invited to many weddings though, because a lot of people are still shy. They don't want people to know that they met through a matchmaker, which I'm surprised since it's so popular now. It's so mainstream, but they still, another guy that I know down in San Diego, he says, don't tell anybody that you matched us, because I told him we met at a concert. I told everybody that we met at a concert. I don't want him to know. I'm like, all right.
Oh, that's cute. We human beings are really an interesting batch. What would you want someone to... do you have a checklist as a matchmaker? Do you actually have sheets of information that people need to fill out? Do you sit down with people and
yes.
talk to them one-on-one to make sure that they are telling you the truth?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. The men are, you know, they have to be, of course, single, not married, and want to find a long-term relationship. I don't take on people who just want a bunch of dates with pretty women and just play around. And plus, I don't think they'd pay the fee. You know, I charge in the thousands. So, the people that come to me are serious. The women mm-hmm. can join for free, but the men are the paying client. And I do sit down and get to know them, and I've, many of them, I go to their home, and I want to see, you know, when they live in, here in Los Angeles, I want to see their lifestyle, and it's wonderful because I can tell the woman, I've been to his home, you know, he has impeccable taste, it was spotless, he has a beautiful pool, he's, you know, and it helps me to really see their lifestyle, and I like to get to know them, and the girls feel comfortable in meeting, because basically they're meeting a stranger, so they trust me, and that's great.
Well, and that's a big thing. Because if you don't have the trust with a matchmaker,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that is really not going to go fare well with you. That is a very personal experience. But I think a matchmaker would be far better than your Aunt Lily, because you know whatever her filters might be may definitely conflict with whoever she may be scanning someone for. But it's. I think your book, Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker, I know some of it because it's involving the very, very wealthy, but it really boils down to the fact that sometimes you just have to be willing to realize that there are good people out there, and a matchmaker may be right, and like you said, it could be on the Internet, but you sure do share some real interesting experiences, and I think you found a very nice medium between being a matchmaker and doing your own business now, which a friend of yours encouraged you to do for a long time, and
yeah.
also your writing. You've got
yeah.
the best of both worlds.
I do. It was my dream, and I had that vision. And, you know, my other two books, I talk a lot about the law of attraction and Excuse Me, Your Soulmate is Waiting, and especially, and you know, visioning your own dream and using the affirmations. And I did it, and I kept holding that vision, and it's interesting because now when I look around at my life, it is exactly how I envisioned it and was hoping to make it. So, because sometimes, you know, when you're in the middle of all this chaos and doing different things, you think, oh, will I ever get to exactly, you know, the kind of life I want? And it's interesting when you just keep going for that vision and holding on to that and keeping your vibration high, all of a sudden you look around and say, hey, this is exactly what I was hoping that would happen.
Mm-hmm. And there you are. Marla, you have your website, Marla Martinson, and that's MarlaMartinson.com. And there you'll find all the information about her books, about her services, if there would be something there you might be interested in, and a lot of other good details. Marla, it's been wonderful having you as a guest today, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you, Donna. It's always a pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, lots of other good things to share, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo broadcasting from Fairbanks, Alaska, where the sky is wonderfully blue. Puffy clouds are just floating above the mountains, and it is absolutely gorgeous. No snow on the ground that I can see. There's a little bit in here and there that hasn't yet melted because they will push the snow naturally when it's there, but it's going to be gone very, very quickly. It's absolutely gorgeous up here. And I want you to know phone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, tomorrow I'm going to be in Anchorage. I'll be broadcasting from there, and we'll have some other things to share. But I did want you to know that if you have a story, and for those of you who are regular listeners, I know you're going to hear this over and over again, but if you have a story about the paranormal, I'd love to hear from you. I'm putting together a book of 100 stories, and I would like to have yours if you're interested in sharing it. You will need to send it to me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, donna@delphiinternational.com, and do put in your contact information. And whether it is an out-of-body, a ghost, a precognitive dream, whatever has influenced your life and made your life different because of that experience, I'd love to hear the story. And again, as I said, we'll need your contact information so that when we have the 100 stories compiled, yours, if it is accepted as a story, it will be necessary for us to be in touch with you, with the publishing house. So anyway, Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Water issues. Believe it or not, we have some big ones. And in many parts of the country, it is becoming more and more of a challenge. It is becoming challenged because we've got so many people. We are using water in a bigger volume. The challenge is that many areas on the earth are shifting in their climate type of environment, and it may not have anything to do at all with what we as humans do, although I'm sure there's people listening that would say, Donna, that's not true. Cutting away all of our trees makes a difference, and that is true, because plants and trees just love CO2, and they will soak it up because it is nutrient for them. So they are very important to have. So we have an option. We can rebuild forests. We can do things that can make a difference. But there is a fact about this planet we live on. There have been many, many times when areas of the world have shifted, and where maybe they were underwater or they were lush and green, the water sources changed, and we're experiencing that today. Some of it is being caused because of the amount of people that are drawing upon the water resources, and I wanted to give a few facts here. Nearly 70% of the world's fresh water is locked in ice. Now think about that for a minute. 70% of the world's fresh water is locked in ice. And I've got a picture of an iceberg that is huge. I mean, absolutely huge. And of course, as it melts, its water goes into the sea, and the water molecules, they eventually will evaporate, condense, and then recycle back into the Earth's environment as precipitation. Well, the other fresh water, most of what is available, fresh water, is in aquifers. Now, the challenge there is that we're draining the aquifers more quickly than the natural source of replenishment can replace. So two-thirds of our water is used to grow food. With 83 million more people on Earth each year, the water demand will keep going up unless we change how we use it, unless we understand how to use it. And many areas of the world, they have a hard time getting water. I know one of my previous guests, Gemma, one of her big goals was to be able to teach women in third world countries how to filter their water, because tainted water, and of course, for those of us that are listening to the stories about Haiti, and you have massive population, the devastation that was caused by nature herself, you have all of these people, no sanitation to speak of, the little bit that is available is overused, so all of this waste is going into the water, it becomes contaminated, so you have these things that occur. And that's when disease runs rampant. That's where you hear about the outbreaks of cholera and typhoid and things like this. So understanding how to use water and how to have it available is one thing. But when people are moving into desert areas that normally don't have water anyway, or moving into environments that are relying on external sources that are beginning to dry up, it's really a challenge. So don't be surprised if you hear more in the news about water wars and other things. But what I wanted to do was share with you a story about a woman. Her name is Micah Parkin. Now, she lives in Boulder, Colorado, and she has a rooftop garden. And she has been bucking officials, apparently, there for quite a long time, because there has been a state law prohibiting most homeowners from storing roof runoff. Now think about that. It rains, the water's on your roof, and you're not supposed to have a right to store it. Well, she said, I don't pay any attention. She said, I'm saving the energy it would take to purify that water at a treatment plant, and the untreated water is better for the plants anyway. Now, this kind of thinking, which has caused some people some real aggravation, this is a 150-year-old system of law that says first in time, first in right. Now, these are water laws that go back a long, long way, obviously. Now, the state protects farmers, ranchers, and others that already have the existing rights to runoff that would normally flow into rivers and other drainages. However, last year, Colorado passed a law that allows homeowners without access to a municipal water tap to harvest rainwater. There's also pilot programs. There are 10 of them where they're going to be testing the impact of collection. So it may be that these people saving their own water is not going to have that much of an impact on the entire water system. And they said, if these can operate with little or no impact to senior water rights, maybe we will be able to implement some changes. And Ms. Parker, she keeps her barrel. She said collecting rainwater is not a crime. At least it shouldn't be. Fascinating times that we live in. It really is amazing. And we're going to see a lot more of it. And our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids are all going to be dealing with these issues. Water is going to be more precious than gold or oil. It is absolutely amazing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I came across some information and had conversations with some clients today that made me realize it might be a good idea to share this. And I think I've mentioned it at different times on the show. But let me give you this point of information. If you happen to go see one of these new 3D movies like Avatar or Sherlock Holmes, and there's others that are coming out now, if you're having a problem when you are watching the 3D movies, if your eyes are in pain or if you're getting nauseous, you need to have your eyes checked. And there are researchers in Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago said that you might be developing a minor eye problem, and this is something that an exam should be able to clear up. Be sure and tell your eye doctor about it. Well, also, people are working on computers a lot more, and many individuals are buying these super large computer screens, and they are using these screens, and they are getting these headaches. Their eyes are just responding in an odd way. Well, stop and think about it. You're dealing with a lot of energy there in that screen that is going to be affecting the eyes. You also have a very high glare level. There's a real simple solution if you're interested. How simple is it? And very inexpensive. Use sunglasses. That's right, just use sunglasses. Put them on over. If you have regular reading glasses, whatever, get yourself some sunglasses you can just put over. I have a pair that I bought that's got sort of a golden kind of a lens in it, and I don't get headaches. I find if I work with a computer, especially the larger screens, and it's the same with watching your big screen televisions, and you may wonder why your eyes feel so strangely or why you're having headaches and you don't typically get headaches. It's because of the stress and strain with the eyes. So if you can, remember to take a break when you're working on computer. Have something green, a picture, or look out a window. Give your eyes a break because of the intensity of the heat of the screen. Also, the brightness of the screen can make a difference. If you pop on some sunglasses, I think you'll find, one, your eyes will relax. Two, they won't get as dry. And three, you won't get eye fatigue, and that is really a big issue. So just a couple of tips there that I thought you might be interested in. Now, I know we're going to be going on break. If you want to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have. Also, I wanted to let you know who's going to be on the air with me tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about remote viewing. Michael Ruiz is going to be my guest, and he has put together a training course that people can take, and it's sort of like do-it-yourself, and I think you'll find his information and his thoughts regarding this quite interesting. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Robert Linden. He is a family physician, and he's a very brave man because he's decided to come out and be public about the rise and fall of the American medical empire. And I think his story is really worth listening to, so he's going to be on the air with me on Friday. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. I have got, do you like rye bread? I've got a neat recipe for you. It's a Danish recipe. We'll be right back, and I'll share it with you.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you like rye bread, that is one of my husband's favorite breads. And I'll have to tell you, when we were in Russia, I just absolutely loved the breads they made there. They made black breads that were out of this world. They just were absolutely wonderful. Well, I don't know. If you've got a special Russian bread recipe that you'd like to share, send it to me via email and I'll share it on the air. But this one is a rye bread that is really considered super healthy. Now, the Danish people have been known for their breads, and Danes really had something that's very good. Now, this is how simple it is. You only need a tablespoon of instant dry yeast, Then you need 4 cups of whole grain rye flour. Now, this is going to be a very dense bread. A half a cup of salt. Not a half a cup, good Lord, that's far too much. A half a teaspoon of salt. You need 2 cups of buttermilk, and 3 tablespoons of your favorite oil. I like olive oil, but whatever you enjoy using. Now, in a bowl, you're going to mix your yeast, your flour, and your salt. And you want to warm the buttermilk until it's just lukewarm. In other words, you can stick your finger in it. It's not going to burn your hand or your finger. Stir in the oil into the milk. And then you add it to the flour mixture. Now, this is the kicker. You're going to have to knead this for about 10 minutes. Great way to exercise your arms and your hands. And you add a half a cup more flour if it's needed. Then you put it in an oiled bowl and you cover it with a plastic wrap or maybe a towel and let it alone. Let it rise for about 1.5 hours. Now, I will tell you, when you have a bread that's this dense, dependent on the humidity, the warmth in your kitchen, it may take longer to rise. So this is what I like to do. I turn on my oven light because in the Pacific Northwest, we have a humidity factor that sometimes creates an environment for dense bread like this that doesn't want to rise. And I put it in my oven that has the light on, and I leave it there. And that gives it enough warmth. But it's still going to take a couple of hours to rise. Then you want to knead it again a second time once it's risen, transfer it to a greased loaf pan, and you again cover it, set it aside, depending on how much time it takes for it to rise again. When it's risen properly, you bake it at 350 degrees for about 45 minutes. And what you might want to do is brush it with water because that's going to create a nice crust on the top, and it will make 36 thin slices slices of a very nice, dense bread. Now, this is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break for just a moment. When we come back, I have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I'll chat with you if you like, too. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Siebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. I wanted to let you know about some new scientific advancements. One of them is concerning solar panels. Now, so many of us would be just delighted to have something like this that would help us with our energy bills. But they are expensive, and not everybody's going to be able to run out and buy a few, install them to the tune of thousands of dollars. It's just not always going to be possible. Well, innovation, that is what makes the world go round. Solar panels are really going to be changing quite a bit. Why? Because engineers are working diligently trying to find a consumer-friendly version. Now, what they've got on the table right now is called solar ink. I'd never heard of this. It's applied with a spray gun. What this does, the ink allows builders and homeowners to turn their windows, doors, and roofs into power-generating panels. And all you would do is spray it on like you would spray on paint on a model airplane. And this is something that was invented by Brian Korgel. He's with the University of Texas at Austin. He's a chemical engineering professor, and he came up with this technology. Also, the ink can be printed on plastic sheets using an inkjet type of printer. He's hoping that he's going to have this out, well, maybe in about 5 years, 3 to 5 years. Innovation. What will they think up next? Well, we've heard about smart homes, and they're getting smarter and smarter and smarter. But what about safer helmets? You know, there is always activity that we can be involved with and head injuries. You're really vulnerable. And having known some people that have experienced them either in accidents or been involved in sports where there's been intense impact to the head, it really makes a difference. Well, scientists, when they were studying different ways of perhaps improving the way a helmet works, decided they were going to observe how the scalp itself moved on our heads. So they studied human physiology, and this is what they came up with. It's called super skin. Now, this is a very thin, gelatinous layer of material that is covered with a very, very tough plastic coating. The motion on that helmet rotates the head and it protects it in such a way that you're not going to have the damage that you would otherwise. Absolutely amazing. They say that they've got one that actually stretches, and they said this material is going to be a state of the art. It's really going to be hot stuff, and it's called Super Skin. It was invented by Ken Phillips, a British physician, and he saw a need, and he said, I think I've got a solution, and it may be really the next thing we'll be seeing in helmets for motorcyclists, etc. This is Donna Sebo. The broadcast tomorrow will be coming from Anchorage, Alaska. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And if you're looking for love, look for it in the right places. Remember, the qualities of character of an individual really do make a difference. And if you're a star, you're going to want someone that's going to be able to shine just as brightly right next to you. This is Donna. Tomorrow, we'll be here same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.